WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA and iHeart Radio Station.
Good morning, Orlando. Welcome aboard bright and early on a Wednesday morning at 6 for our first look now at Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic for you on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeart Radio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, a sedition conviction for U.S. Capitol rioters. More in 1 minute.
Brand new Florida polling involving Trump, DeSantis, and Biden, and all the U.S. World Cup soccer highlights coming up on Good Morning Orlando.
6:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Jurors in a case stemming from last year's Capitol riot have found Oath Keepers leader Stuart Rhodes guilty of seditious conspiracy. Brian Shook reports.
This is the federal trial of Rhodes, who led the far right-wing militia. They're accused of leading the effort to stop the certification of the Electoral College following the 2020 presidential election. Rhodes claims former President Trump was going to invoke the Insurrection Act. There have been hundreds of trials involving the riot, but this is the highest profile one because of the sedition charges. I'm Brian Shook.
Also convicted of seditious conspiracy is Kelly Meggs of Marion County, leader of the Florida chapter of Oath Keepers. This is the first conviction for seditious conspiracy in the United States since 1995. Suspended Hillsborough County State Attorney Andrew Warren is testifying in Tallahassee in a federal lawsuit aimed at getting his job back. Warren alleges that Governor Ron DeSantis violated his First Amendment rights by removing him from office.
There's so much more at stake than my job. We're not just fighting for me to do the job that I was elected to do. We're fighting for the rights of voters across Florida to have the elected officials of their choice.
The trial is expected to last through Friday. There's another sign Governor DeSantis may run for president. Fox News is reporting today that DeSantis will write an autobiography. The Courage to be Free, Florida's Blueprint for America's Revival, is due out in February. The six-month Atlantic hurricane season is officially over as of today, Wendy Grossman reports.
Hurricanes Ian and Nicole packing a devastating punch. Ian, the deadliest storm to strike the Sunshine State in 87 years, killing at least 157 people and causing some $50 billion in damage. Nicole caused an estimated $386 million in damage. The losses and Florida's property insurance crisis will be the focus of a special legislative session called by Governor DeSantis for December 12th through 16th.
We're going to work with the legislative leaders on those dates, and it will have as the main focus the reform of the property insurance market.
He says the legislature will provide property tax rebates to areas still recovering. Wendy Grossman, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
The Deep South and Midwest are still under the threat of storms this morning. At least 17 tornadoes had been reported by 11 last night, mainly in Mississippi and Louisiana. President Biden is fired up after the U.S. men's soccer team defeated Iran yesterday to advance to the knockout stage of the World Cup in Qatar. After a political event in Michigan, Biden went back up to the podium for an impromptu speech to celebrate the 1-0 victory.
USA, USA, that's a big game, man. Well, I spoke to the coach and the players. I said, you can do this. They went, they did it. God love them.
Christian Pulisic scored the lone goal for the Americans. It sets up a round of 16 matchup against the Netherlands on Saturday. That match begins at 10 a.m. our time. WFLA News Time is 6:05. An ancient alien statue is discovered toppled over on Mars. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. And that's where you can win tickets to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra at the Amway Center. The first hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Now on FM 94.1. Still on FM 93.1. News Radio WFLA Orlando. And still on AM 540.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. We are glad you're with us on the 50,000-watt front porch. Bud Hedinger, Alan Spector, Guy Roberts, and Lizzie Steele until 9 o'clock. Gang, we'll talk about World Cup soccer here in just a moment, but I don't have a lot of time in this segment, but I want to get right to the most important story of the morning and bring you comprehensive coverage of all of the highlights of the U.S.-Iran World Cup soccer match yesterday. Here they are. Roll them.
Pulisic scores!
That's it. All the soccer highlights. 90 minutes plus 10 minutes of stoppage time. I got suckered into soccer. I was watching it while I was doing early show prep. And you know what, gang? The Patriot in me was really more into this game than the first two. Congratulations to the U.S. team. I love socking it to Iran, but I do feel sympathy for those Iranian players who were threatened, you know, with their families and goodness knows what might happen if they refused again to sing their national anthem. But did you catch the game yesterday at all?
No, yesterday was my flossing day, so pretty much my hands were tied. You know, but I'm wondering, is there someone pointing a gun at your head making you watch the World Cup? You sound like you're watching under duress every time.
I am. I'm taking one for the team. You
Why?
Know?
Why? You don't have to watch it. We all can find out what happened. I'll be happy to report it each day right here on Good Morning Orlando.
Okay.
You don't have to watch it. I can tell you what the final score is. Boom, done.
I didn't watch it too closely, and Guy, I guess you didn't either, but you were in and out, right?
I watched the beginning, and I watched the end.
That guy gave himself up for the U.S. goal. I have to say that was really a great moment.
Yeah, but speaking of taking one for the team.
Yeah, he's injured, and he's day-to-day at this point.
Uh-huh. And Lizzie, you took Alan's advice, even though he didn't give it to you. You didn't watch it, right?
No, I had things to do.
Yeah, I'm not advising anybody on what to do about the World Cup. But if you don't want to, if you hate soccer like some people here, don't watch it.
That's an interesting idea.
Yeah, I thought so.
I may take you up on that because the next game could ruin my weekend, you know. But go USA! What the heck, you know? I mean, that's a great story in that regard, even though I find the sport almost unwatchable. At any rate, I don't find presidential politics to be unwatchable. I love presidential politics. We got new Florida polling down that road. Stay tuned in a one-word texting poll for you coming right up as we get rolling on a Wednesday morning with an update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes at 6:08. The Central Florida headline and a tragic note in the news, a child dead after a family boat trip turned tragic in Polk County. The sheriff's office has announced that the body of a St. Lucie County boy was found in Lake Annie near Dundee. The 9-year-old was on a pontoon boat with his dad and two brothers on Saturday when he fell overboard and was hit by the propeller. Updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories all morning on Good Morning Orlando.
News, weather, and traffic for the smartest audience in talk radio. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Ready to talk about presidential politics here? I've got my first post-midterm election polling on this. It's a polling by Victory Insights of likely Republican voters. First of all, the question about a potential primary matchup between Trump and DeSantis for the GOP nomination in 2024. Obviously, Trump is already in the race. DeSantis is not, but, you know, believe that he will be along the way by many, including myself. And then what about a matchup of one or the other, DeSantis or Trump against Biden in 2024? Here are the results that we have here from the Victory Insights poll taken on November 16th and 17th after the midterms here. In a potential Republican presidential primary between Trump and DeSantis, the poll found that more than 47% of likely Republican voters in Florida favored DeSantis. 47 DeSantis, 37% Trump. 10-point gap, 3.7% margin of error. Now, let's take a look at what happens in Florida in November 2024, assuming Biden is the Republican and the Democrat nominee here. What about DeSantis against Biden? What about Trump against Biden? That's what the Florida voters, likely voters, were polled on. It found they believe DeSantis has, well, DeSantis, they 50% said he's got the best shot at beating Biden. So it'd be 50 to 46 DeSantis over Biden in the general election. And what about Trump in the race against Biden again? Biden in this poll, 48, Trump 43. So the Florida voters are saying, and it's so early, and I get it, and everything can change, and we understand that. But I find it an interesting result here that even though DeSantis is not in the race, that the voters in Florida who are polled here by Victory Insights are saying he would be the strongest horse against Biden and the candidate preferred over Trump in a primary race. We've got a one-word texting poll. Alan, can you put that out there for the very first time? Because it's a question we've kicked around on the show, and I think folks ought to have an opportunity to weigh in on our poll this morning.
Yes, we want to know, would you like to see soccer out loud in the United States? That's yes or no. Seriously. Seriously, we want to know, do you think Ron DeSantis should enter the race for president in 2024? Text yes or no to 23680.
All right. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes, text no to 23680. You know, when we've talked about this before, it hasn't been, oh, yeah, come on, Ron, get in there. Go, Gov, run for president now. A lot of people say, yeah, we like the guy, but we still want him to serve a full second term here as governor because we like the work he's doing here. And he's so young at age 44, he's got endless presidential opportunities moving forward for the next couple of decades. So it'd be very interesting to see how we do with the one-word texting poll. Any surprises to you in the Victory Insights poll here showing that DeSantis has opened up a lead in terms of being preferred by Florida voters over Trump in a primary and then the best bet to win the White House in 2024?
I think it reflects our discussion here on Good Morning Orlando and also what we've been hearing from listeners when we've done previous one-word texting polls and just asked for input on the possible presidential race and the possible candidates as being DeSantis or Trump. We've seen Trump losing support that once was rock solid among our audience.
Yeah, and I've got a couple of items in the news right now as I try to follow, you know, what's influencing people's thinking on Trump or DeSantis that I don't think are to Trump's advantage, to say the very least, and I'll share those with you. But please vote now on the one-word texting poll. We'll tally it up all morning long. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. An update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic now in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando, from all of us at 618. Central Florida headlines now. Frustration building in Volusia County as residents try to rebuild from the recent storms. New Smyrna Beach City Commissioner Lisa Martin held a listening session last night to find out what residents need going forward after Hurricanes Ian and Nicole. Some residents were upset that no one from the county or the state was there to explain why the rebuilding process seems to be moving so slowly. Stay tuned for updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories here on Good Morning Orlando.
From News Radio WFLA, this is Good Morning Orlando. Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680.
Ah, the sounds of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. Well, good news. News Radio WFLA Orlando and iHeartRadio want to send you and three of your friends on a VIP holiday trip to New York City to see Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and that includes airfare, hotel accommodations, a special Christmas dinner, and a $1,000 holiday shopping spree, plus front row tickets to the show. And it's all from our friends at Wild Child Touring. Just download and open our free iHeartRadio app and listen to Trans-Siberian Orchestra Radio to become an instant finalist. For more information, you can head to WFLAOrlando.com and click on the contest tab. And happy holidays from News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Got a one-word texting poll going here for you right now. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. Alan, the news that you brought us earlier in this half hour that is being reported by Fox that Trump is penning an autobiography for release in February.
Yep.
And it seems to me, what the title again suggests to me that he's thinking beyond the state of Florida,
yeah,
sounding more and more like a presidential candidate in 2024.
The title is The Courage to Be Free, Florida's Blueprint for America's Revival by Governor Ron DeSantis, autobiography.
So when we look at the prospect of Trump or DeSantis, the two great giants of the Republican Party right now, in our home state of Florida, which makes presidential politics, to me, more exciting than it has ever been, when you look at it, things are going to shift. There's no question about it. But I'm going to be looking for things that work to the advantage or disadvantage of DeSantis and Trump. Right now, I see DeSantis on a high after the midterms landslide over Charlie Crist. No question about that. As for Trump, he is in the race. And except for Kanye West, which is a joke, he's the only one in the race at this particular point, and it's way, way early. A couple of stories are in the news here, one of which you have reported, Alan, already this morning, that
right,
I think does not work to the advantage of Trump. And that is these convictions yesterday by a jury of seditious conspiracy. I mean, that's a serious and rare charge. And to get a conviction on this doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
And to put them behind bars for up to 20 years of a couple of the top guys in the Oath Keepers, you know, that whole January 6th thing, anytime it comes up in the news, even though you may say, well, Trump never advocated violence, said go up there and protest peacefully, I still think that kind of news, January 6th related, you know, for folks who aren't hardcore pro-Trump, I think it sends them in the opposite direction.
Yeah, for those who missed it, Stuart Rhodes, the national leader of the Oath Keepers, and the guy here in Florida who heads the state chapter of the Oath Keepers, both convicted of seditious conspiracy. First time anybody's been convicted of that crime in the United States since 1995.
Yeah, when they got a conviction against a radical Islamic terrorist trying to bomb New York City landmarks, you know, World Trade Center, et cetera. You're talking about Kelly Meigs out of Marion County, the
right,
leader of the Florida chapter of the Oath Keepers. I just don't think that kind of news is good for Trump. You can agree or disagree. 407-916-5400. Text line is 23680. And then the news has come down, Alan. I find this interesting, that with the runoff in the Georgia Senate race between Warnock, the Democrat, and Herschel Walker, the Republican, you would think that a Trump rally in Georgia would be a natural. But there is going to be no Trump rally. He's going to participate in a tele-rally, like of a Zoom sort of a thing. But he's not going to host an arena rally. Wow. Now that really says something. And apparently it is a mutual understanding between Trump and his people and the Walker people up in Georgia, that a Trump rally would cost Walker votes, not gain him votes, in a race that's very tight with Warnock, you know. And it just is another one of these things that concerns me for Donald Trump's viability as a presidential candidate, even though he's in the race. We've said it before, he's still got a tremendous base, but it's eroded some. And to win a primary, and particularly a general election, he has to make the base bigger. And this shows to me that he's not getting stronger in a critical scenario like the Georgia Senate race. He is perceived as being weaker and a liability.
Yeah, it's interesting because Herschel Walker is actually a former employee of Donald Trump. When Trump owned the New Jersey Generals of the USFL, and they drafted Herschel Walker, a great running back, as a professional.
Yeah, lots of folks weighing in on the text line here. We're going to get back to this in the course of the show, and we'll share many of your comments here, and we're open to phone calls as well on this new polling about DeSantis versus Trump here in the state of Florida, primary and general election 2024. Very quickly, Lizzie, pop out the one-word texting poll for folks who are just joining us because they'll want to vote.
Do you want DeSantis to enter the 2024 race to be our president? Text yes or no to 23680.
Okay, vote now, and we'll tally it up along the way. Lots more to talk about. Elon Musk and the old Twitter files. He says he's going to release him. We'll talk about it next half hour. Here comes the news, a little preview now with Alan.
Traveling on foot in Orlando could be hazardous to your health. And a same-sex marriage bill clears the U.S. Senate. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together. And the Bloomberg Business Report in 2 minutes here on Good Morning Orlando.
Text message addressed to the Budman clearly. I cannot wait to hear your celebration when Trump does not win the primary, because it is obvious you are against Trump. No doubt about it. Wrong. Please, with all due respect, knock it off with that stuff. What I want is a victory for the Republicans to take the White House from the Democrats in 2024. Okay? And when I have doubts about Trump headed in the right direction, I will express them, as I will for DeSantis or anybody else. Let's go right now to Alan and get up to date on the news here at the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour.
But a new report is naming the 10 most dangerous cities for pedestrians in the United States, with four Florida cities, including Orlando, making the list. Larry Spillman reports.
The report from the group Smart Growth America found that Daytona Ormond Beach metro area was the most deadly in the nation for people on foot. Tampa Bay ranked fourth, Jacksonville sixth, and the Orlando area eighth. The report didn't say why Florida has so many dangerous spots, but noted that lower income areas of cities appear to have much higher rates of pedestrian deaths. Larry Spillman, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
A woman is dead and another is hurt after a stabbing in Kissimmee. That happened yesterday at a home near Myrtle Oak Lane and Oak Hill Trail. A male family member was arrested, and Osceola County Sheriff Marcos Lopez says the man literally had blood on his hands when he was found. No one involved has been identified. Orange County leaders are continuing to discuss a potential tenant bill of rights. Commissioners met yesterday to talk about the proposal that would create a local housing office and prohibit landlords from discriminating against renters. Public comment was heard during the meeting.
There is no accountability for landlords. They have no accountability. They don't have to come to court.
If a landlord has had code violations and they have not brought it up to par, we want that to be made public.
Landlords say the provisions are too burdensome. The new Office of Tenant Services would investigate complaints and mediate ways to resolve any issues. The commission will vote on the ordinance next year. In Washington, the Senate is passing a landmark same-sex marriage bill.
Maine Senator Susan Collins thanked her fellow Republicans who voted for the bill.
Despite a lot of pressure, despite a lot of criticism, and cast what I believe will be a vote that they'll look back on with great pride.
The Respect for Marriage Act passed Tuesday afternoon as 12 Republican senators voted along with Democrats to advance the bill, which recognizes gay marriage nationwide. Trey Thomas, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
The Florida State Seminoles are up three spots to 13th in the latest college football playoff rankings. FSU climbed following its fifth straight win to end the regular season at 9-3. UCF, also 9-3, remains at number 22. WFLA News Time is 6:35. You can win tickets to see Steve Martin and Martin Short at the Dr. Phillips Center online at WFLAOrlando.com.
This Central Florida headline now, a woman dead, another hurt after a stabbing in Kissimmee. It happened yesterday at a home near Myrtle Oak Lane and Oak Hill Trail. A male family member arrested, and Osceola County Sheriff Marcos Lopez says the man literally had blood on his hands when he was found. No one involved has been identified at this point. Stay tuned for updates at least every 10 minutes on our top stories all morning long on Good Morning Orlando.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Well, good morning, it's Guy Roberts here. News Radio, WFLA Orlando wants to make your Christmas wish come true. What's on your Christmas wish list? You want some help with the bills? Some presents for the kids? Something special for that someone special? Well, we're granting Christmas wishes all across America now through December 16th. Let us grant your Christmas wish at WFLAOrlando.com/promotions, and that's all sponsored by Netspend.
Good stuff. Thanks, Guy. We're talking about your political wish right now on our one-word texting poll. Please vote if you haven't already. We're going to update the totals here just before the top of the hour. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23688. zero. We're talking about Elon Musk, the world's richest man, you know, Mr. Tesla, Mr. SpaceX, an amazing success story. And he has bought Twitter, social media giant, for $44 billion. And he's making big changes. He's fired half the workforce. He's told the rest of them they need to work harder or get out the door. And he says also that Twitter is going to become a force for good and a fierce defender of American rights to free speech. As a matter of fact, Musk tweeted this. He says, what we're talking about here is a battle for the future of civilization. If free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead. And to that end, he says further, the public deserves to know what's been going on with Twitter before I took ownership of it. And he is vowing, it hasn't happened yet, but he is vowing this week to release the old Twitter files. He particularly focuses on the suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story that the New York Post broke just before the 2020 presidential election about all that was in the laptop that the other media outlets have grudgingly come to say absolutely has been verified about the dealings between Hunter and Joe Biden on the international scene that enriched the Biden family, the deals cut with the communist Chinese, the dealings with Ukraine. It's all there. And Joe Biden's hands are all over it on the laptop here, along, of course, with his drugged out son, Hunter. So what about this? I mean, I want to see all of the relevant old Twitter files, not just stuff that relates to the Hunter Biden laptop, but that's all so far that Musk seems to have signed on to for sure. I hope he goes the full route on this and releases all of the old Twitter files from the old Twitter regime that shows just how incredibly liberally biased they were and how biased against conservative points of view, along with Facebook and other high-tech giants here. I mean, the whole thing, they're all in bed with the Democrat Party and the Biden regime. I believe it with all my heart. On the issue of releasing the Twitter files on the Hunter Biden laptop, who better to hear from than New York Post columnist Miranda Devine? Here's what she thinks about the Twitter files Musk is vowing to release from before he owned the company, that it will show, because she's the one who broke the story on the New York Post here, will show what they will show about Hunter Biden's laptop and that whole story that she broke just before the 2020 presidential election in which Twitter joined with Facebook in suppressing.
Was the Biden campaign involved? Was the Democratic Party involved in that decision to censor Twitter? Who were the personnel at Twitter who decided to do that? What connections did they have with the Democratic Party? We need to know that. This is really an incredibly important, I mean, Elon Musk talks about it as being important to restore public trust in Twitter. I think it's bigger than that, and he does admit that Twitter is at the moment in this existential battle between tyranny and freedom.
Yeah, that was Miranda Devine from the New York Post who broke the Hunter Biden laptop story that the big social media giants suppressed just before the election to try to get Biden over the finish line and to make sure that Trump was defeated. Interesting, the White House yesterday was asked all about the release of the old Twitter files here and say they're looking very closely at Twitter under Musk, that when it comes to social media platforms, it is their responsibility to make sure when it comes to misinformation, when it comes to the hate that we're seeing, that they take action, that they continue to take action. Again, we're keeping a close eye on this. That was the press secretary, the totally incompetent Karine Jean-Pierre. What the translation is there, folks, if you don't get it, is we've had the social media giants like Twitter all to ourselves because they are biased in the direction of our liberal politics and agenda. And anything that the new Twitter under Musk turns up about what was going on inside Twitter that's not to their advantage, they are going to go after it here. And I wonder whether there's a veiled threat to have a federal government crackdown on the new Twitter, privately owned company owned by billionaire Elon Musk. An update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. Check of headlines for you now. Consumer confidence in the United States is at a four-month low as inflation continues to soar. A survey from the Conference Board showed Americans currently less likely to buy big-ticket items, especially as housing costs rise. However, it also shows consumers are optimistic about the labor market, which has remained strong despite all the interest rate hikes. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes on our top stories. Count on it here on Good Morning Orlando.
Stay ahead of the storm with Operation Stormwatch on News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. This is Lizzie Steele. And if you haven't been to our website, oh boy, are you missing out, because we have really cool things like a water cooler talk. Have you ever gotten to work and gone, I don't know what to talk about? Well, if you download our free iHeartRadio app, then you can go back and you can play our daily podcast of GMO.
And that's also where you can go to enter win tickets to see the Glenn Miller Orchestra. That's going to be Friday, January 20th at the Dr. Phillips Center. You can enter now at WFLAOrlando.com/promotions.
All right, we're talking about the situation with Twitter. Now, you and Lizzie Guy have Twitter accounts, but I guess you're not very active there. I'm really interested to hear from people who are active in Twitter as to whether they're seeing any changes in Twitter. I'm hearing good things. I'm not a Twitter guy. That you know, it's not quite the political cesspool that it once was, that there seems to be more balance and there's a kinder and a gentler Twitter. Also, that a lot of liberals have fled Twitter right now under Musk because they don't like the idea that maybe the landscape is changing and they're going to root out the liberal bias that it has been so prevalent in Twitter before Musk got a hold of it. I don't even know whether Twitter's going to survive. I hear economic analysis of this that, you know, that it's going to be very, very difficult. He's fired so many people, and advertising support has waned, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. But I think it's worth fighting for on the basis that Elon Musk says this is all about free speech and not having it suppressed just because of a particular point of view. We'll see what the future might hold. Do you think Twitter's going to make it?
I don't know, but if it doesn't, he just threw away $44 billion.
Yeah, well, he borrowed a lot of money from the banks. I mean, this is apparently not Tesla money here, or is actually his own money, but he is on the hook for a lot of dough, and no question about it. Our one-word texting poll is really interesting. We have asked this morning, and the voting is open until 9 o'clock when we leave the air, do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. Guy, in just a moment, I want you to give us the latest voting on this, because I know you're furiously tallying up the count, which will be continuing for the next 2 hours. Just an example of some long-form response from our texters here. No, DeSantis should wait. Trump will unceremoniously and unfairly attack him. He will get lost in the Trump chatter. Another listener, I think the Republican Party will have a better chance with Governor DeSantis than with Trump. Donald Trump did a lot of good during his time in the White House, but it's time to move on. I think the past drama with Hillary Clinton did more harm for the Democrats in 2016. So there we go. Alan, any thoughts on this? And if you were able to vote, and none of us are allowed to, in the one-word texting poll, would you say, yeah, Ron, get in the race?
I would say that, but not now.
But for the 2024, but not this early.
No, this is way too early. He needs to wait at least a year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I wasn't time-specific in the question, other than we're talking about running in 2024. He's so young, he can run in, you know, for the next 20, 30 years without question.
But will he be as hot and popular as he is now in 20 to 30 years? You got to strike in politics while the iron is hot, bud. And I don't think he can afford to just assume that, you know, in 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, whatever it is, that he's still going to be the force to be reckoned with that he is now within the Republican Party.
That's a point that was made by another one of our texters as well. Yes, you got to get in now because who knows how the political landscape might change. And I think that might well be what the DeSantis autobiography that is in the works is all about, you know, that focuses on the Florida blueprint for America's revival. If that doesn't sound like a book written with a presidential run in mind, I don't know what would
well,
be.
Well, you know, when you're selling a book, then you show up on all the talk shows and all over TV and all over news, getting a lot of free publicity.
Yeah, absolutely true. We'll see how it all goes. All right, Guy, where are we on the one-word texting poll? Put it out there again. Folks are just tuning in, you know, minute by minute here.
Do you want DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Yes or no to 23680? So far, yes is at 20, no is at 25.
Okay, pretty close. Light voting in the early going here. Two more hours to go, so we hope you will weigh in. Speaking of DeSantis right now, we have the DeSantis file with some interesting things in it in the next half hour. So stay tuned, and we'll focus on that. And, of course, we'll be looking to talk with you, 407-916-5400, text line 23680, or via TalkBack on the iHeartRadio app. Coming up at the top of the hour at 658, here is Alan with your preview of your news.
A unique conviction for U.S. Capitol rioters, and the U.S. scores a victory at the World Cup. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA and iHeart Radio Station.
Good morning, Orlando. Top of the morning to you on a Wednesday at 7 as we update once again now Central Florida's news, weather, and traffic for you on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, Capitol rioters convicted of seditious conspiracy. More in 1 minute.
And we're about to crack open our DeSantis file. What's in it? Stay tuned on Good Morning Orlando.
7:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. The founder of Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, is found guilty of seditious conspiracy by a Washington, D.C. court in the case of the January 6th Capitol riots. He's facing up to 20 years in prison. One of Rhodes' lawyers, Texas attorney James Bright, was asked if the results of the trial could lead to an indictment of former President Trump.
Of the 10 terabytes of evidence that we've had available to us in this trial, I can tell you that there is nothing in the body of evidence that we've been given or shown that would in any way be indicative of the ability to indict former President Trump.
Bright says the results of the trial would have been substantively different if it had been in a different jurisdiction. Lawyers plan to appeal. A Seminole County detention deputy is accused of smuggling contraband into the jail where she worked. The sheriff's office announcing yesterday that Deputy Star Muhammad was arrested for allegedly giving vape pens to an inmate at the John E. Polk Correctional Facility. Polk County Sheriff's deputies have found the body of a 9-year-old boy after a nearly 3-day search at Lake Annie in Dundee. Sheriff Grady Judd says the boy fell off a pontoon boat on Saturday afternoon and struck a propeller.
We saw the child's shirt wrapped around the propeller of the boat, so we feared the absolute worst.
The boy from Port St. Lucie was visiting with family. He was not wearing a vest, but Judd says it is not required for a child his age, and the sheriff says he does not expect any criminal charges from the tragedy. Today is the last day of November, and as Wendy Grossman reports, it marks the official end of the 6-month Atlantic hurricane season.
Floridians are still picking up the pieces from Hurricanes Ian and Nicole. Ian is the deadliest storm to strike the Sunshine State since 1935, killing at least 157 people and causing some $50 billion in damage. Nicole caused an estimated $386 million in damage. The losses will be the focus of a second special legislative session next month called by Governor DeSantis to discuss Florida's property insurance crisis.
There were some very positive reforms that were done, but there were also things that we wanted to do that the legislature
legislature at that time was not willing to do it.
He says the legislature will provide property tax rebates to areas still recovering. Wendy Grossman, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
A tornado that tore through central Louisiana is to blame for injuring at least two people. Authorities say there is significant damage in Caldwell Parish, where trees have fallen on homes, and witnesses say debris was hurled thousands of feet into the air. And it's on to the round of 16 for the U.S. men's soccer team.
They beat Iran 1-0 Tuesday in their final group game at the World Cup in Qatar. The only goal was scored by Christian Pulisic, who was subbed out at halftime after injuring himself on the play. U.S. Soccer announced the star winger has a pelvic contusion and his status is day-to-day. The team will face the Netherlands on Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I'm Brian Shook.
WFLA News Time is 7:05. Flu cases in the U.S. surge above 6 million. That story is online at WFLAOrlando.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at WFLAOrlando. The second hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
The new form of broadcast excellence. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. Noon to 3 p.m. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando, on a beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm working from the home office here, still recovering from the great fall a few weeks ago, doing better all the time. And thank you for the good wishes in that regard. But I poked my nose outside the back door here in our home, and I'll tell you, you know, there are people all over this country by the tens of millions who would just die to have a day like this on the 30th of November. I just love this time of year in Central Florida. I bet you guys do, too.
Well, yet here we are stuck inside the studio.
Yeah, rub it in,
leave
bud.
It to Alan to find the downside.
Yep, that's what I'm here for.
But you're so good at it.
It's a skill I've honed over many, many years.
Guy, you're getting a little bit of love on the text line here. Somebody's had it with the Budman as host of this show. I'll share that here in a moment. More texters right now are reacting to our one-word texting poll. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. The texter saying the 2020 election was stolen. Trump had 4 years, greatly hindered. Justice and restitution demand Trump given his chance at an even-handed 4 years. No, doesn't want DeSantis to run. If Trump and DeSantis goes against each other, the texter writes, it's going to hurt the Republican Party. Another, Trump and DeSantis will tear each other apart. I would rather keep him as our governor for the full term. And another one suggests we do redo the one-word texting poll. Should Guy replace Bud as host? Text yes or no. I'm tired of your DeSantis versus Trump polls every other day. Gee, every other day? Are we doing it every other day? I'm going to go check the tape. Do you think DeSantis could tour the United States and draw the crowds that Trump is? I don't right now, no. But who knows what the future will hold. So I think I'm pretty much done as host here based on that. So, Guy, you ready to go here?
I plead the fifth.
Wow.
No, this is your show, bud. This is your show.
Yeah, now I'm committal there for a moment.
Yeah.
Maybe yes. That does sound like a good idea.
Anyway, I don't know. Maybe we should pop a poll out like that. You know, should Guy replace Bud as host of Good Morning Orlando?
Oh, you're asking for it.
It's not the question on the table right now. The question, once again, Alan, is what?
Should Ron DeSantis enter the race for the 2024 presidential nomination for the Republican Party?
You totally reworked it, but the essence is the same. Text yes or text no to 23680.
Excuse me for putting things in my own words, bud.
I know. If you weren't so cooped up in the studio and you could get a little fresh air, Alan, things would be wonderful for you. I recommend it.
Thanks.
We'll take a walk in the parking lot and rejoin us in a moment, if you will, as we delve into the DeSantis file after a quick update for Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. A health headline for you right now. A new study says that men can reduce the risk of colorectal cancer by eating vegetables like broccoli and spinach. The study found that men eating the most green vegetables, nuts, and whole grains could lower their risk of colorectal cancer by up to 22% compared to those who ate the least. Updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Connections Show. Relationship radio with a twist. Thursday nights at 9. News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. So glad you've joined us here in the 50,000 Watt Front Porch on a marvelous Wednesday morning here in hour number two. We're going to begin delving into our DeSantis file because I found a number of interesting DeSantis-related items yesterday, and I thought we'd kick them around and talk about them today and see what you think at 407-916-5400 on the phone, the text line 23680. Make your own commentary or recording on the iHeartRadio app on the TalkBack feature. It's easy to do. How about we start by renewing the one-word texting poll that is out there throughout the show, and it really fits into the DeSantis file segment here. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. Got a lot of DeSantis fans in the audience, but they're saying for a variety of reasons, by a narrow margin in the 7 o'clock vote update, that they don't want him in 2024. What do you think? Let us know on the one-word texting poll. We'll get into some DeSantis sound cuts from an appearance up in Jacksonville yesterday in a moment. But first of all, I don't know how this is going to go, but yesterday a trial began in Tallahassee. And this is the battle between DeSantis and the man he ousted as the Hillsboro state attorney, Andrew Warren. Back in August, DeSantis suspended him because he was on record as saying that he would not enforce certain laws, and specifically on record, signing off on a pledge not to enforce laws on abortion, like the 15-week abortion limit in the state of Florida that is law now, and also a transgender surgery, that sort of thing, whatever the laws happen to be on that, okay? And DeSantis said, oh, wait a minute, we can't have a state attorney doing this, and I don't have a problem. There's other liberal state attorneys, and Andrew Warren is a liberal state attorney. He's been, you know, elected twice over there, so the people want him in Hillsborough County. But DeSantis is saying we can't have somebody like this in a position like that in the criminal justice system, who is on record as saying he will not enforce laws that are on the books in the state of Florida. I lean toward DeSantis on this, but I am not sure how the trial is going to go. Now, Warren was yesterday, I took the stand, and this is going to go on probably for a couple of days, and I think DeSantis should win it, but I'm not at all sure he will. A federal judge will make the decision here. And again, the governor decided two letters from the national advocacy group Fair and Just Prosecution that Warren signed, pledging indeed not to prosecute cases involving abortion and transgender health care. Now, Warren's lawyers, their argument is pretty simple. They say, well, wait a minute. These are statements that he signed, and they are protected speech under the First Amendment. And DeSantis should not be able to use those signed statements to punish the ousted state attorney, Andrew Warren. But, you know, DeSantis' lawyers say, and DeSantis, is, by the way, does not have to testify, and he's not going to, that Warren pledged not to enforce the law. And that made Warren's actions illegal, equaling a neglect of duty that merited suspension. I think the governor's right on this. But I think the federal judge, and there are people who know more about this than I do, legal experts are weighing in and saying that the judge may come down on this being protected First Amendment speech. I'm not sure DeSantis is going to win this, although I think he needs to. I think he needs to have a say. The voters aside, I mean, the voters can say, I want this guy. But then when he gets in there, he is duty-bound as a state attorney in this state to enforce the laws on the books in the state of Florida. Bad precedent if he is restored to his office by a judge's ruling, in my opinion. We're going to have chaos in state attorneys' offices across this state. The heart and soul of what a state attorney is supposed to do is to prosecute and enforce the laws that exist, whether they like them or not, period. Some DeSantis sound cuts from yesterday, and one he's sounding, I think, quite presidential. We'll get to it right after we update Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes. Good morning, Orlando. It's 7:18. This Florida headline for you right now. More than 100 migrants are waiting to be brought back to Cuba after making landfall in the Florida Keys. U.S. Border Patrol agents say that three separate landings yesterday led to officials detaining 110 people. Updates at least every 10 minutes in the top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Do you like chiming in? Call us at 407-916-5400 or text us at 23680. This is Good Morning Orlando on News Radio WFLA.
Well, in case you missed it, here it is again. Do you want DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? We want you to text yes or no to 23680.
It's our one-word texting poll, and they definitely want to hear from you. Now, into some more of the DeSantis file. Oh, a question on the text line. How does the Hillsborough State Attorney Andrew Warren situation, how is that any different than Aramis Ayala, who was the Orange Osceola State Attorney under then-Governor Rick Scott, and she refused to prosecute any death penalty cases, but he did not oust her like DeSantis did with Warren. He simply, Alan, you'll remember this, gave death penalty cases over to another state attorney, Phil Archer, I believe.
Yes, I do remember that, Bud.
Yeah, and so it's a different case in the way it was handled. And there you are. So she remained in her position, but she we had the death penalty cases taken away. This is a full-blown ouster of State Attorney Warren. So I don't know how it's going to turn out. Do you have any guess on that, how that will ultimately be decided by the federal judge?
Have no idea.
Me neither.
You know, legal rulings are so unpredictable. We've been surprised by many of them over the years.
Yeah, we really have. Let's listen to the governor right now. And this is interesting, Alan. You had the headline that he's already working on an autobiography for release in February, which is entitled The Courage to Be Free, Florida's Blueprint for America's Revival. And it sounds, Alan, to you and me like this guy's got to be running for president if he's putting out an autobiography with that focus on it.
Yep, he's laying the groundwork.
Yeah, and I thought he was further yesterday in an appearance in Jacksonville when he all of a sudden kind of stopped the proceedings and weighed in, you know, on an issue that made him sound like he's thinking beyond the state of Florida. Here he is taking time to weigh in on a major international issue yesterday, DeSantis. The people of China protesting the communist government suffocating zero COVID lockdown policies.
This zero COVID policy is draconian. It violates people's liberties, and it is completely unscientific. And the people of China are right to be able to speak out and protest against what the Chinese Communist Party is doing.
DeSantis here blasting the way the Communist Party of China, the CCP, rules China with an iron fist and controls all phases of the people's lives.
This CCP has a maniacal desire to exert total control over its population. Zero COVID is really just the pretext for them to do what they want to do anyways. And that is not a model that can work over the long term. The people in China are finally speaking out against it. And I just think we need these draconian COVID policies to go to the ash heap of history where they belong.
I found it interesting. I was kind of hungering for DeSantis to say, you know, it's time for the people to rise up and overthrow the Xi Jinping regime in China, et cetera, and be a little more bold beyond the issue of COVID. But there'll be time for that. More now from the governor and DeSantis yesterday on a lack of fraud in the midterm elections in Florida. And here he is crediting his Florida Office of Elections Crimes and Security.
I think the fact that we have put in place an ability to hold people accountable if they violate election laws has contributed to just compliance. Why worry? Why violate the law if you know you're going to be held accountable? It's not worth it. So I think people get that.
Now, to those who say, why do we need a Florida Office of Elections Crimes and Security if there's really not much voter fraud in Florida? Well, DeSantis reminds us it doesn't take much when elections are close.
There was a fellow that they brought charges on in Broward, illegal alien, nine-time conviction, criminal convictions, nine, and then voted in two elections in 2021 in Broward, one of which was decided by like 30 or 40 votes. And just think about in this area, you know, the current Speaker of the Florida House lost his first primary election in Duval County by two votes. And so that illegal vote could cancel out your vote, and then it could even change elections. So I think it was done well.
You know, Alan, you and I have disagreed on this. You know, if there's not much voter fraud here, why do we need the Office of Election Crimes and Security? And the governor makes the point it's a deterrent to illegal voting activity.
Well, it may be. I don't know if that's been proven yet. I think it remains to be seen.
Yep. Okay. What remains to be heard would be the next half hour of Good Morning Orlando. And a really pathetic plea by the failing Orlando Sentinel. And I'll explain what's going on here. And we'll talk about whether or not the Sentinel can be saved or whether it should be saved. But also remaining to be heard, Alan Spector with the news.
The state comes to the aid of folks still recovering from Hurricane Ian. And in Polk County, there's a trash emergency. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
Vote in our one-word texting poll. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. Off our conversation a few moments ago, a texter, the election police, they're just like the regular police. We need them there when and if crime occurs. To Alan right now to update our news at the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour here. We're in the last day of hurricane season, and a big hurricane still making news, isn't it?
Yeah, Bud, as Floridians continue to recover from Hurricane Ian, the state is preparing thousands of trailers for families who need temporary homes. Steve Summers reports.
Governor Ron DeSantis has launched the Unite Florida Recovery Portal to provide recovery resources, including housing support. The state's first state-led sheltering program is available for counties that were hardest hit. Hotels and trailers will be offered for 6 months until families can get back on their feet. They should be ready in about a week. Steve Summers, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
Meanwhile, frustration seems to be building in Volusia County as residents try to rebuild from recent storms. New Smyrna Beach City Commissioner Lisa Martin held a listening session last night to find out what residents need going forward after Hurricanes Ian and Nicole. Some residents were upset that no one from the county or state was there to explain why the rebuilding process is moving so slowly. For the second time this year, Polk County commissioners have declared a local state of emergency over trash pickup. This time it involves the eastern half of the county, where services are provided by Waste Management, Commissioner Neil Comby.
And we're trying to find somebody that can come in quickly and do the work behind these contractors who have just been failing miserably for the last year and a half.
Waste Management says it has 13 trucks in need of repair and a two-month-long wait list for parts. 80 other trucks were destroyed by Hurricane Ian. Three Chinese astronauts are making history after arriving at China's new space station. Trey Thomas has more.
The three astronauts arrived early Wednesday at only the second inhabited space station orbiting the Earth, marking the first in-orbit crew rotation in Chinese space history. Chinese state television says the crew was greeted with hugs from the first crew of the space station, who will return to Earth next week. I'm Trey Thomas.
The Magic are back home to host the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Orlando will then head back out on the road for games in Cleveland and Toronto on Friday and Saturday, respectively. The Magic have lost five straight to dip to 5-16 on the season. WFLA News Time is 7:34. Elsewhere. The authorities want to know who would steal from the crew. An investigation is underway at the Southern California home of Motley Crue drummer Tommy Lee. His home northwest of Los Angeles was burglarized last week. The property is currently up for sale, and Lee was not living there when the crime was committed. Somebody reportedly broke in through the back glass door. And according to TMZ, the inside of the home was trashed. The burglars got away with a bathroom mirror and some cabinet handles. About $5,000 worth of damage was done to Tommy Lee's home.
Where else are you going to get exclusive sound of the break-in but in elsewhere, you know?
Nowhere else, bud.
Amazing, Alan. You're on top of it.
I've done it again.
Keep doing it. What else you got?
This episode of Elsewhere is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night!
A pair of award-winning actors and comedians will be hosting Saturday Night Live next month.
Well, excuse me!
Steve Martin and Martin Short, stars of Only Murders in the Building, will co-host the December 10th episode of SNL. Brandi Carlile will be the night's musical guest. Carlile took to social media to share how excited she is to be performing on an episode hosted by Martin and Short. She said, "I would fly to New York City just to witness this from the audience, but instead I get to sing my songs on my favorite show."
Numbers will be huge.
Should be huge. Good. Should be good.
Yeah, that'd now, be the only reason I'd watch.
Well, Steve Martin was an original, right? When they first started SNL, would I be right on that?
He was not a cast member.
Oh, we didn't know that.
No, but he gained a lot of popularity appearing on the show on a regular basis.
Ah, and Martin Short came a little bit later?
He did. Martin Short gained his first fame with SCTV, if you remember that show out of Canada.
Man, you know this stuff. I love it. Yeah, that's going to be exciting. Yeah. I'll tune in for that one, or at least I'll record it pretty late for the Budman.
And finally, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West have finally settled their divorce.
My fellow Americans, our long national nightmare is over.
The couple's split has been dragging for the past year as Kanye has blown through at least six lawyers and refused to sit for depositions. According to the new settlement, the two will have joint custody of the kids and will split education and security costs for the children. Kanye will also pay $200,000 a month in child support. And he had this comment. Kim filed for divorce back in February of last year after 7 years of marriage to Kanye West.
Doesn't she make more money than he does?
Well, at this point, yeah.
Well,
the old sneaker endorsements seem to be disappearing for Kanye.
Whoops.
Yeah, they sure do. Yeah, I got to hand it to you, Alan. I mean, everybody wants to be on Elsewhere. Even resurrected former President Ford. No one else can do that. I mean, that's impressive.
No one. You can't hear this anywhere else. Nowhere else. Again, I have done it again. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. Listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector and Good Morning Orlando resumes in just 2 minutes after an update of news, weather, and traffic.
The Central Florida headline for you now. A Seminole County detention deputy accused of smuggling contraband into the jail where she worked. The sheriff's office announcing yesterday that Deputy Star Muhammad was arrested for allegedly giving vape pens to an inmate at the John E. Polk Correctional Facility in Seminole County. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in our top stories. Count on it here on Good Morning Orlando.
Money, real estate, investments. Learn from the pros, evenings and weekends. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. This is Lizzie Steele, and I'm here to tell you something pretty cool. The future of audio is here, in case you didn't know. It's free, though. Listen to what you want when you want by downloading the free iHeartRadio app, and you can find that on our website, WFLAOrlando.com.
Ed, remember, we have that one-word texting poll, but you can send us a talk back on how you feel about DeSantis maybe running in 2024. Just go to that free iHeartRadio app.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. And here is the one-word texting poll for folks just joining us here on Good Morning Orlando. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. I'm not saying do it now, but I'm just saying at some point, do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. We're about 15 minutes or a little less away from giving you the very latest vote total, and we hope you'll be part of it here. Let's talk about the state of things at the local newspaper in Orlando, the Orlando Sentinel. How bad are things for the Orlando Sentinel? This paper is in such bad financial shape that they have published an article begging their dwindling number of readers to contribute money to keep them afloat so they can do all of the wonderful investigative reporting that they tout in the course of the article. I mean, to me, it's a sad commentary on the state of the Sentinel, but the state of most newspapers in this country as more and more people choose to get their news from other places. But in my opinion, the Sentinel has itself to blame, at least in part, for its blatantly liberal bias that just turns a lot of folks off who might read the paper if it were more balanced in its coverage of politics. So the question on the table here now: can the Orlando Sentinel be saved, and should it be saved or not? Let's talk. This came to mind when I was watching a football game over at my friend Gary's house over the weekend, and he showed me the Sunday edition of the Orlando Sentinel, and it was incredible to me. I get the online edition, and I use it as a resource here of news, and not everything they do is biased, but when they do politics, it's all biased to the left. And I think that there are people who have just said they've had it with the Sentinel, a.k.a. in the minds of many, the Sentinel. It was sad to me. This is Thanksgiving weekend, okay, Black Friday weekend, how small and meager the newspaper was, how few ads there were in it. And it was $5.50 for the paper edition of the paper.
Wow. You know, I remember back in the day, Thanksgiving weekend, the paper would show up on Thanksgiving Day. You'd need a forklift to bring it in.
Yes.
True.
With everything that was in it, plus all the ads.
Gary has said that the number of ads had shrunk noticeably just from last year's Black Friday weekend edition on Sunday of the printed paper. I mean, here is what the editor-in-chief said, and a front-page story in the Orlando Sentinel on Sunday that popped up on their OrlandoSentinel.com online edition yesterday. The editor-in-chief of the Orlando Sentinel, Julie Anderson, saying, "We can use your help. You can help us continue important journalism. Make a tax-deductible contribution to the Orlando Sentinel Community News Fund." Now, there's no question across the country that newspapers are in trouble as people get their news from other sources and other ways. And it's not all people walking away from perceived political bias. It's just that, you know, that more and more newspapers are becoming passé. So the question is, can the Orlando Sentinel be saved long-term, and should it be saved? I'm not sure that it should be, and I'm not sure that it can be. But can I tell you this? I would really, really regret the day that the Orlando Sentinel went out of business, because while I hate the political bias in that kind of reporting, there is so much more that gets reported about what's going on in Central Florida and across the state, and in the city of Orlando, and across the country and around the world, in the Orlando Sentinel, as there is in other newspapers. And I'd hate to see that source just go out of existence. I don't think that's a good thing. But I'm not sure the Sentinel can be saved. You have any thoughts on that?
I think newspapers in general are pretty archaic at this point. And I think while some people may be upset with what they perceive as the political bias of the Orlando Sentinel, I think more people are just getting their information, as you indicated earlier, Bud, elsewhere, from you know, social media, from media sources. You know, you can find out information pretty much instantaneously, whether it's online or on TV or from us on the radio. Whereas with the paper, you got to wait kind of to the next morning.
Yeah.
And, to see what they've got.
And also, you don't have to go outside to pick up the paper. You just wake up, roll over, and look at your phone and see the news.
Yeah. Interesting thing. You know, I walk my dogs early in the morning before I come to work, and I always see the Sentinel delivery person come through. And I live in an older condo community. And I don't mean the condos are older. I mean the people in them are older, including myself. And he drops off at very few people, and I would think this would be their prime market.
Yeah.
But even this population not subscribing to the Sentinel.
So our question to you is, that's very interesting. Can the Orlando Sentinel be saved, and should it be saved? Let's talk. 407-916-5400, text line 236-80. Make a talk back recording in the iHeartRadio app. Quick update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic, and we're back at it with you on a Wednesday morning. Good morning, Orlando. Look at headlines for you right now. Former Trump advisor Stephen Miller testifying to a federal grand jury as part of the January 6th investigation. CNN reported that Miller was at a federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. for several hours yesterday. Miller is the first known witness to testify since the DOJ appointed a special counsel to oversee investigations around former President Trump. Stay tuned for updates at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Use your smart speaker. Tell Alexa to play News Radio WFLA Orlando.
You know, one thing I grew up around was cars. My dad was an excellent mechanic, and that's all he knew his whole life. So I got into cars as well. If you're into cars, you can go to this weekend's Central Florida Auto Show. There's going to be new cars, trucks, and SUVs, and they're all going to fill the Orange County Convention Center for the Central Florida International Auto Show. That's this Friday through Sunday. That's the 2nd to the 4th, courtesy of News Radio WFLA Orlando. You can enter now at our website, WFLAOrlando.com/promotions.
That's going to be a great, great event, and you can be there. Hey, Alan, you were a part of this yesterday and the rest of the gang. I was not, but we've got some thank yous for some folks who brought in some wonderful stuff to eat, right?
We do. We had some delicious food brought to us by the folks at 5th Avenue Streetery in Mount Dora. Now, if you're not familiar, they have a full menu for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's a fully outdoor restaurant in a converted gas station in Mount Dora. And they brought us, what I had was the fried Texas French toast, excellent, with toppings. Guy, what did you sample?
Mine was extremely delicious. It's one of the most favorite things I've had in a long time. It was the Mediterranean salad. And it's a spring mix topped with feta cheese crumbles, red onion, tomatoes, cucumbers, banana peppers, and Mediterranean olives. And it's served with a homemade Mediterranean lemon dressing. And then they are also nice enough to give me some of the gyro meat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, delicious.
Nice. Lizzie, did you have a chance to partake?
I did not get a chance because I needed to get out of here before as the food was coming in. And I was like, no. But I have been to this place, all right?
Well, This is a great place to go this Friday to kick off the holiday festivities in downtown Mount Dora. I'm talking about the Mount Dora Area Chamber of Commerce presenting the 29th Annual Christmas Walk Friday from 6 to 9 p.m. in historic downtown Mount Dora, featuring the most outstanding of traditional Christmas light displays, a 40-foot musical Christmas tree presented by Main Street Leasing, and a holiday and plenty of holiday entertainment. It's sponsored by Advent Health, Waterman Village, Visit Lake, Walmart, Duke Energy, and the First National Bank. Presented, as I said, by the Mount Dora Area Chamber of Commerce. You can find out more at at MountDora.com. Visit MountDora.com for more info.
Yep, and if you're hungry, you can always go to the 5th Avenue Streetery at 846 East 5th Avenue, Mount Dora, Florida, 32757.
You know, thanks, folks. And by the way, Christmas, the way they do it in Mount Dora, is really hard to beat and worth driving for. On the issue of whether or not the failing Orlando Sentinel that's now begging for listener, or rather reader, contributions, whether it can be saved or should be saved, Denton in Winter Garden writes, the Sentinel slanted too far and slid off the edge. Let him go. Another, my young relatives say they get news from TikTok and YouTube. Another, I stopped home delivery of the Sentinel about 6 years ago because of their liberal slant. Another, be woke, go broke. Another, I could not be more ecstatic with the demise of the Slantinel. The bias and the cover-ups perpetrated by the editorial board begs that demise occur. It's vengeance for Charlie Reese, the old columnist there who is just a legend in this area.
Yeah.
Joe, on that one.
Bud, you know, and I mentioned the other day that the nickname Slantinel actually started way back in the 1960s. When the Orlando Sentinel was perceived as a very conservative publication and very biased in that direction, yet they were doing good business. Why? I think because they didn't have competition. They don't. The competition today in the news business, the information business, the entertainment business is too much for newspapers these days. As I said, you can get everything, you know, almost immediately
right
on your phone, basically. Without waiting for the paper to come out the next day.
Good points. Couple of more quickies off the text line. Sentinel should go down in flames. I'll bring the marshmallows. We'll have a roast. They had years to change. They did not. There are 28 houses on my street. 3 subscribe to the Slantinel. The Sentinel is dark blue. Woke. Not at all a local paper. We need a new paper. Actually, a local paper. The one-word texting poll. How about the question and the voting guy? Hello.
He's here.
Here's the question. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. Do we have the update?
Yes, we do. Sorry, I was in the middle of something. It is so far now it's 35 to 70. 35 yes, no 70.
Mm.
There we go. News coming up, Alan.
Capitol rioters convicted of seditious conspiracy. And the U.S. advances at the World Cup. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
WFLF Pine Hills, Orlando. WMGF HD3, Mount Dora, Orlando. News Radio WFLA and iHeart Radio Station.
Good morning, Orlando, on a beautiful autumn morning across Central Florida. We greet you at 8 o'clock with an update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic on News Radio WFLA Orlando on FM 94.1, FM 93.1, still on AM 540, and on the iHeartRadio app. I'm Bud Hedinger.
And I'm Alan Spector. Our top story this hour, a sedition conviction for U.S. Capitol rioters. More in 1 minute.
Brand new polling we'll talk about. Trump, DeSantis, Biden. Don't miss it. And our one-word texting poll, too, here on Good Morning Orlando.
8:02 on News Radio WFLA Orlando. Jurors in a sedition case stemming from last year's Capitol riot have found the leader of Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, guilty of seditious conspiracy. Brian Shook reports.
This is the federal trial of Rhodes, who led the far right wing militia. They're accused of leading the effort to stop the certification of the Electoral College following the 2020 presidential election. Rhodes claims former President Trump was going to invoke the Insurrection Act. There have been hundreds of trials involving the riot, but this is the highest profile one because of the sedition charges. I'm Brian Shook.
Also convicted of seditious conspiracy is Kelly Meggs of Marion County, leader of the Florida chapter of Oath Keepers. This is the first conviction for seditious conspiracy in the U.S. since 1995. Suspended Hillsborough County State Attorney Andrew Warren is testifying in Tallahassee in a federal lawsuit aimed at getting his job back. Warren alleges that Governor Ron DeSantis violated his First Amendment rights by removing him from office.
There's so much more at stake than my job. We're not just fighting for me to do the job that I was elected to do. We're fighting for the rights of voters across Florida to have the elected officials of their choice.
The trial's expected to last through Friday. There's another sign Governor DeSantis might run for president. Fox News is reporting today that DeSantis will write an autobiography. The Courage to be Free, Florida's Blueprint for America's Revival, is due out in February. The six-month Atlantic hurricane season is officially over today, Wendy Grossman reports.
Hurricanes Ian and Nicole packing a devastating punch. Ian, the deadliest storm to strike the Sunshine State in 87 years, killing at least 157 people and causing some $50 billion in damage. Nicole caused an estimated $386 million in damage. The losses and Florida's property insurance crisis will be the focus of a special legislative session called by Governor DeSantis for December 12th through 16th.
We're going to work with the legislative leaders on those dates, and it will have as the main focus the reform of the property insurance market.
He says the legislature will provide property tax rebates to areas still recovering. Wendy Grossman, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
The Deep South and Midwest are still under the threat of storms this morning. At least 17 tornadoes had been reported by late last night, mainly in Mississippi and Louisiana. The same storm system brought heavy snow to 13 states in the West and upper Midwest. President Biden is fired up after the U.S. men's soccer team defeated Iran yesterday to advance to the knockout stage of the World Cup in Qatar. After a political event in Michigan, Biden went back up to the podium for an impromptu speech to celebrate the 1-0 win.
USA, USA, that's a big game, man. When I spoke to the coach and the players, I said, you can do this. They went, they did it. God love them.
Christian Pulisic scored the lone goal for the Americans and got injured in the process. He's day-to-day at this point. This sets up a round of 16 matchup against the Netherlands on Saturday. That begins at 10 a.m. our time. WFLA News Time is 8:05. You can find more stories online at WFLAOrlando.com. And that's where you can win tickets to see the Glenn Miller Orchestra in concert at the Dr. Phillips Center. The third hour of Good Morning Orlando starts now.
Quick wit and compelling perspectives. Glenn Beck, 9 till noon. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
Good morning, Orlando. On a fabulous late autumn morning here in Central Florida. It just makes you just feel good about living in Central Florida, or maybe even better than you do. And we are glad you're with us here, along with my co-host Alan Spector, executive producer Guy Roberts, and Lizzie Steele in the control room, the Bud Man here for another hour. Congratulations to the U.S. men's soccer team at the World Cup in Qatar in the Middle East here for that victory over Iran. You know, I mean, I love that. And we can sock it to one of these totalitarian regimes like the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm all for it. How about we review all of the game highlights? Let's roll them.
Pulisic scores! Might have paid the price, but the U.S. takes the lead.
And that's it. It was 1-0. Everything else is a bunch of running around and a bunch of busted plays, which is my problem with soccer. But I love seeing the U.S. win on the world stage. This was sad, gang. Did you hear about this? A source involved in security of the games reports that the Iranian players would not sing their national anthem as a protest against the totalitarian regime led by the mullahs and the Ayatollah. And they were told, that was in the game against England and earlier in the tournament, that if they refused again, that their families would face violence and torture, that they had to sing the national anthem, and they could not join any political protest against the regime. Wow. And you could see them at least making some effort to sing. What an awful thing to live in a country where that threat would be made.
And you know, Bud, I saw a video online yesterday from Tehran, which on which you could hear Iranians cheering for the American victory.
That's interesting.
That's how against their government, their regime, they are. They're rooting for the United States in the World Cup.
We could talk a lot more about that, but we have other things to talk about here, and we are glad you're with us. Got brand new polling after the midterm elections. Florida voters here on DeSantis versus Trump. Either one of them against Biden in 2024, and our one-word texting poll, vote now. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. Trump's already in, of course. An update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic, and we're back at it in a quick 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando. Headlines out of the Northeast, where they'll be on royal watch in Massachusetts. The Prince and Princess of Wales headed to Boston today. It's their first trip to the United States in 8 years. Prince William and Kate Middleton's arrival comes ahead of the Earthshot Prize Awards. That ceremony taking place on Friday. Prince William will visit the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library with Ambassador Caroline Kennedy. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in our top stories on Good Morning Orlando.
Now on FM 94.1, still on FM 93.1, 107.7 HD3, AM 540, and the iHeart Radio app. This is News Radio WFLA Orlando.
Hey, the polls are still open. We want to know, do you want DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? You can text yes or no to 23680.
Good stuff, and we hope you will. We've got long-form texters on this question. No, we need him for 4 more years. Another, keep the commitment to being governor. No, I don't want him to run. We need him in Florida.
Hey, Bud.
And, yeah.
There was a text earlier that I really liked.
What was it?
What if the lieutenant governor took over for DeSantis if he left?
Jeanette Nunez?
Yep.
Yeah. Would she be able to cut it? Yeah, and I think she would. I'd be fine with her. I like her. Yeah, I do. I do. Let's see. Oh, another. Trump 2024, DeSantis 2028 to 2036 as president. And a note, tired of trite polling. I do have some polling on all of this in a moment. The first we have for you, polling of Florida voters after the midterm elections here. Let me see. Another, we need Trump for 4 years, then Ron for 8. So hit the text line, 23680. If you want to talk it over, 407-916-5400. We're here for you on the phones. Make your own recorded commentary with a talkback feature through the iHeartRadio app. We're talking about a Victory Insights poll that is out. They polled in mid-November about 700 likely Republican voters. And here is, well, here are the highlights of it. Take it for what it's worth here. And these polls will be shifting all over the place. As for DeSantis, before I give you these numbers, I have now concluded something I was leaning toward. He absolutely will be running for president in 2024. But it's not time for him to jump in. And a couple of things sealed it. Yesterday, when he made time in Jacksonville on a local appearance to talk about the situation in communist China with the protests and all of that. That's something you do when you're marketing yourself and thinking beyond the state that you govern. And then the absolute clincher for me was the headline that Alan provided us this morning. Fox News reporting that DeSantis will write an autobiography entitled The Courage to Be Free, Florida's Blueprint for America's Revival, and it will come out in February. A governor of a state doesn't write a book like that without presidential ambitions. That's just, I think, universally true. So he's running. He's not in, but he's running. And Trump's already in. So what about the Victory Insights poll? Are you ready for this? In a potential Republican presidential primary between Trump and DeSantis, the poll found that 47% would vote for DeSantis. 37% would vote for Trump. 10-point gap, 3.7% margin of error in the Victory Insights poll. Beyond that, looking ahead to the general election in 2024, a DeSantis-Biden matchup, DeSantis wins 50-46. A Trump Biden matchup, in that case, let me make sure I get this right, Biden wins 48-43. So there you are. Now, DeSantis is on a high off the landslide win over Charlie Crist and the way he's governed the state of Florida. He is a man of action. He gets things done. He doesn't take any guff. He's essentially stands for the same things, with few exceptions, that Trump does, you know. But he goes down a lot more easily, I think, for folks than Trump does with his personality. And it's just the reality of it all. Okay? That's the perception. It becomes the reality for voters. Also, he's fresh blood. He's 44. you know, and Trump is moving from his mid to his late 70s. And I think that's a factor as well. So anyway, love your comments, and we'll kick it around here and see what the rest of the team thinks about the first polling I've seen post-midterm elections of Florida voters looking ahead. What do you think? Let's talk. After an update on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic in 2 minutes, we will. And we welcome you to Good Morning Orlando. This headline, did you do a little bit of shopping over the weekend, the holiday weekend? Well, it indicates you've got a lot of company because the number of shoppers in-store and online this Black Friday weekend hit an all-time record high in the U.S. The National Retail Federation saying close to 200 million went shopping from Thanksgiving Day to Cyber Monday, and that is up from 179 million last year. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes in our top stories. We promise we deliver for you here on Good Morning Orlando.
Money, real estate, investments. Learn from the pros, evenings and weekends. News Radio, WFLA Orlando.
We come on this loop, John B.
Wouldn't it be nice to take a cruise with the gentleman that wrote this song?
I see what you did there.
Aha! Uh-huh. Well, the Beach Boys' Good Vibrations Cruise is going to be setting sail in March, and we have your exclusive chance to get on board here at News Radio WFLA.
That's right. You and a guest will experience a five-night vacation with non-stop music. And you may be saying, well, how can the Beach Boys provide non-stop music? Well, the Beach Boys will stop, but they can call in help from the bullpen. In the form of the Temptations, the Isley Brothers, the Righteous Brothers, Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, the Beatles Tribute Band, all on board, along with the Beach Boys.
Just go to WFLAOrlando.com and click on the contest page for your chance to win, because we want you to hop on the boat and prepare for all the good vibrations. You can also book now at www.thebeachboyscruise.com.
Guys, I just want a clarification here. We're not all going to be packed into the Sloop John B., are we?
We got
something a little bigger and grander.
Something called the Norwegian Pearl. I think that's a couple of feet longer, if I'm not mistaken, than the Sloop John B.
And maybe a little more seaworthy, we hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. What an incredible deal that is. And it is a News Radio WFLA exclusive. Let me ask you, do you agree with me that it's now a lock that DeSantis will at some point get into the race for president in 2024, despite a fair amount of sentiment among our listeners that he hold off and not do that this time around? When you're writing a book like he's writing, as you reported, Alan, when he's in Jacksonville yesterday on a local appearance, about some funding for some things going on in that area, and all of a sudden he just gets into this whole thing, railing on communist China. That sounds like somebody who wants to be perceived as something more than the governor of a state and is looking ahead and burnishing his kind of national, international, and hence presidential credentials.
And this is nothing new, Bud, because for months when he's held his news conferences, his updates around the state, he never misses a chance to take a shot at President Biden, the Biden administration, addressing national issues as well as those of state concern.
You think he's in for sure?
I think there's no doubt. And as I mentioned earlier, you got to strike while the iron is hot. How much hotter can you be than winning by a landslide as governor of Florida? We've talked about the fact, he's young, so he has a lot of opportunities to run in the future. But will he be as popular, say, 8 years from now, 10, 12?
Yeah, it's a great point made in another way by a texter here. The launching pad couldn't be better. I mean, he's red hot with the reelection landslide over Crist, and he'll be the sitting governor when he announces for president. No gap there. But if he sits it out, there'll be a gap when he's not in power and not in the news for a fair amount of time. And the texter writes, and this takes off on what you're saying, Alan, I think you're both right. No, but if DeSantis is out of office for 2 years, only 3 months is a lifetime in politics, he'll lose his clout. He needs to run in 24. Guy, how do you see it?
I think he is definitely going to be making a run. Will it be in 2024? Maybe, but definitely in 2028. But like I said before, if he does make a run, people are like, oh no, we're going to lose him here in Florida. Well, we still have his lieutenant governor who's backed him on every single thing he's done.
Yeah, Jeanette Nunes could cut the mustard. She'd get the job done here.
Yeah, and we've got a Republican-dominated legislature, which is in, has shown they are intent on following up on DeSantis's policies.
Yeah, and it's a stranglehold. It's a supermajority in both houses, which is unprecedented for the Republicans here. Texters weighing in, thoughtful folks, members of the smartest audience at talk radio, without question. Love Trump policies, but 4 more years of his childish antics will turn off the center and doom the Republican ticket in the next round. Another, I agree he wants to be president, but I am still not convinced he'll run in 2024, but I am convinced he'll run in 2028. And another, you know, wait till 2028. And some folks saying, yeah, we want him in now. Some saying, no, we do not. The voting continues in the one-word texting poll, and the question is, do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. In the next half hour, a couple of things here I'd like to bring back on the show. Elon Musk is vowing to release Twitter files and show the anti-conservatism bias of the folks who ran it before he bought it for $44 billion. We'll talk about that. And the Hillsborough State Attorney, Andrew Warren, has his day in court. He was ousted by DeSantis for being on record as refusing to prosecute certain cases and enforce certain laws. And how's this going to play out? We'll talk about it. But in the meantime, how about we all get up to date on the news? And there is no better way to do that but for me to stop talking and turn it over to Alan Spector.
Thanks, Bud. Traveling on foot in Orlando could be hazardous to your health. And a same-sex marriage bill clears the U.S. Senate. Those stories and others, plus traffic and weather together and elsewhere in just 2 minutes on Good Morning Orlando.
DeSantis 2024 lighting up the text line here. Another one says, I fear a Trump-DeSantis confrontation of the primaries. Trump might get pretty mean there. Another ripping the bud man here calling me Deep State Bud. Is pumping DeSantis the only subject you can find?
DSB.
Yeah, that's me, Deep State Bud. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. I'm going to just point out my bottom line is I want the White House for the Republicans in 2024. Okay? And if you hear me say positive things about DeSantis, it has to do with, you know, maybe him being the strongest horse. I've also said positive things about Trump and his presidency. You know I'm the guy who wrote the Trump train song. Okay? Enough with that nonsense. But, hey, it is, you know, it's First Amendment, you know, say what you want. And keep it clean, and you do, and we appreciate that. Alan, what about the news?
A new report is naming the 10 most dangerous cities for pedestrians in the United States. Larry Spillman reports 4 Florida cities, including Orlando, made the list.
The report from the group Smart Growth America found that Daytona-Ormond Beach metro area was the most deadly in the nation for people on foot. Tampa Bay ranked 4th, Jacksonville 6th, and the Orlando area 8th. The report didn't say why Florida has so many dangerous spots, but noted that lower-income areas of cities appear to have much higher rates of pedestrian deaths. Larry Spillman, News Radio, WFLA, Orlando.
A woman is dead and another is hurt after a stabbing in Kissimmee. That happened yesterday at a home near Myrtle Oak Lane and Oak Hill Trail. A male family member was arrested, and Osceola County Sheriff Marcos Lopez says the man literally had blood on his hands when he was found. No one involved has been identified. Orange County leaders are continuing to discuss a potential tenant bill of rights. Commissioners met yesterday to talk about the proposal that would create a local housing office and prohibit landlords from discriminating against renters. Public comment was heard during the meeting.
There is no accountability for landlords. They have no accountability. They don't have to come to court.
If a landlord has had code violations where and they have not brought it up to par, we want that to be made public.
Landlords say the provisions are too burdensome. The new Office of Tenant Services would investigate complaints and mediate ways to resolve any issues. The commission will vote on the ordinance next year. In Washington, the Senate is passing a landmark same-sex marriage bill. Trey Thomas reports.
Maine Senator Susan Collins thanked her fellow Republicans who voted for the bill.
Despite a lot of pressure,
despite a lot of criticism, and cast what I believe will be a vote that they'll look back on with great pride.
The Respect for Marriage Act passed Tuesday afternoon as 12 Republican senators voted along with Democrats to advance the bill, which recognizes gay marriage nationwide. Trey Thomas, News Radio WFLA, Orlando.
The Florida State Seminoles are up three spots to 13th in the latest college football playoff rankings. FSU climbing following its fifth straight win to end the regular season, 9-3. UCF, also 9-3, remains at number 22. WFLA News Time is 8:35. Elsewhere. A very popular singer is lining up some fellow artists for a worthy cause.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? I travel.
Annie Lennox of Eurythmics is recruiting Billie Eilish, Alicia Keys, and Brandi Carlile to raise money for The Circle. That's a charity whose aim is to end violence against women and girls. The singers are handwriting the lyrics to their most popular songs for an online auction. Fans can bid on the written and signed lyrics, too. Eurythmics' Sweet Dreams are made of this, Billie Eilish's Your Power, Alicia Keys' Fallen, and Brandi Carlile's Right on Time. That auction runs through next Monday.
That would be really cool.
Those would be some cool items to have. And
yes,
you're helping, I think, a very worthy cause.
I would definitely want Annie Lennox's lyrics.
Mm-hmm. Elsewhere.
Oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, thy leaves are so unchanging.
That's George Strait, in case you're wondering.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he's singing because the world-famous Rockefeller Center Christmas tree will be lit tonight. Ushering in the traditional start of the season, this woman is looking forward to it.
Being here is awesome. Like, I could have not asked for a better Christmas gift, honestly.
The 50,000 lights on the 82-foot, 14-ton Norway spruce will be flipped on during a televised ceremony on NBC beginning at 8 p.m. A more exclusive experience is available for those who want to spend some money. VIP tickets cost $585 apiece.
Oh, yeah, yeah, please, please. Yeah.
That's always been a bucket list of mine, to go there and watch that tree be lit.
Yep.
Oh, I got a chance to do it as a kid because we lived across the river in New Jersey, and mm-hmm. it's magnificent. It gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. Let you know how things have changed. This is now a prime time event. When I was a kid, they lit the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree on television during Howdy Doody. I'm not kidding you. They did. It was Clarabelle the clown pushed the button. Yeah, so and times have changed.
Wasn't Clarabelle the clown played by Bob Keeshan, who later became Captain Kangaroo?
I think so, and I thought maybe by Ed McMahon, or was he Ronald McDonald at one point? I don't know.
No,
now you're
was,
stretching me here.
Willard Scott was Ronald McDonald.
Okay, all right.
Now, a lot of people are saying, who the heck are you guys talking about?
That may well be true. Yeah. You know, we may have lost touch with some of the very important demographics. So I'm going to pull back from that, but a little perspective. I
enjoyed it personally, that little trip through memory lane. Yeah. And finally, a Marine veteran is making the best out of her prosthetic leg by turning it into a beer glass. Annika Hustler was seen on the Jumbotron at the Los Angeles Lakers game yesterday, pouring a beer in her prosthetic leg. And then chugging the drink. As the crowd cheered.
Yay!
Hutzler had her leg amputated back in 2019 after a tumor could not be removed from her foot. She was awarded a gift card for being the fan of the game for her drinking antics. Despite her efforts, the Lakers lost.
I need to hang out with this girl.
Yeah. Party.
I may not drink out of the leg, but I still want to drink with her.
You're not quite. That's a bridge too far.
Hmm.
Or a knee or something too far.
Yeah. Find more on these stories on the Good Morning Orlando page at WFLAOrlando.com. Listen to the Elsewhere podcast on the iHeartRadio app. Just look for Elsewhere. With Alan Spector, Good Morning Orlando is back in 2 minutes after an update of news, weather, and traffic.
Look at headlines for you right now. Congressional leaders are working on bipartisan legislation to avoid a major railroad strike that could cripple the economy. Following a meeting with President Biden at the White House yesterday, Democrat leader Chuck Schumer in the Senate said he and Republican Senator Mitch McConnell will work together to approve an agreement as soon as possible. Updates for you at least every 10 minutes on our top stories throughout the morning on Good Morning Orlando.
Follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at WFLA Orlando.
Hey, for the best mix of holiday favorites, you can listen to iHeart Christmas on the free iHeart Radio app. And if you want a specific vibe for the holidays, check out one of our hand-curated holiday playlists like Christmas Coffee House, where you'll be immersed in a cozy holiday coffee shop, or you can relive the holidays in a suit and tie with Crooner Christmas playlists. Download the free iHeartRadio app and just search Christmas to find these playlists and more.
I hate to have anybody left out, and I know there are some of you who don't find it convenient to listen to the show until maybe the tail end of it. But we've been serving up hot topics here and having great reaction to them ever since 6 o'clock this morning. And we're going to briefly bring back a couple of them right now. I took note of the fact that the editor-in-chief of the failing Orlando Sentinel that is in such rough financial shape right now, I mean, at the paper, even on Black Friday weekend, that used to be packed with ads and be, you know, as Alan said, you'd need a forecklift to bring it in the house, it was very meager. And on the front page, there was an appeal from the editor-in-chief saying, we need your help to continue doing, and then they cited all the great investigative reporting that they do. We need your help, and we need you, and we're asking you to contribute to a fund to keep the Sentinel afloat, prompting my question to all of Central Florida. Should the Orlando Sentinel, well, can it be saved, and should it be saved? You know, I hate them for the left-wing biased reporting of politics, but I hate losing a newspaper that reports on so many other things in which the bias does not come in to play. Here is a talk back made by one of our listeners on the iHeartRadio app.
Good morning, Orlando. Pete the Pool Guy here. Look, we're talking about the Orlando Sentinel, and of course their, you know, their readership has gone down. Nobody uses that anymore. It's like, why use a phone book? You know, we don't use that anymore either. So the technology is changing. And I remember when the Orlando Sentinel called me up about, you know, subscription, I started laughing. And the lady was like, well, there's lots of coupons in there. I'm like, lady, you're going to reduce yourself down to a coupon book?
All right. Thank you, Pete. We appreciate it. That's how you do it on the talk back there. And we do appreciate that. Something else that came up earlier in the show when we talked about it here, Elon Musk paid $44 billion to acquire Twitter. And when he did, he said this, his social media platform was going to become an open digital town square, that free speech is the bedrock of a functioning democracy, and Twitter is the digital town square where matters vital to the future of humanity are debated. More recently this week, he tweeted this. The public deserves to know what happened before I bought Twitter. And he's talking about their obvious liberal bias and the way they suppressed conservative opinion. More on that in a second, but Musk tweeted, this is a battle for the future of civilization. If free speech is lost, even in America, tyranny is all that lies ahead. I don't know if we have the sound cut queued up here or not. Do we have that from the New York Post reporter, Divine, here? And she's the one who broke the story about the Hunter Biden laptop and all the implications for Biden, Joe, and Hunter just before the 2020 presidential election. But this social media left-wing conspiracy, they're all in bed with the Democrat Party. They're all a bunch of lefties, and Twitter was a part of that before the takeover by Elon Musk. And he's going to release, he has vowed to do it this week, the old Twitter files, and to show what was going on with the Hunter Biden laptop story. Let's listen to the reporter from the New York Post who broke that story on what we might be learning.
Was the Biden campaign involved? Was the Democratic Party involved in that decision to censor Twitter? Who were the personnel at Twitter who decided to do that? What connections did they have with the Democratic Party? We need to know that. This is really an incredibly important... I mean, Elon Musk talks about it as being important to restore public trust in Twitter. I think it's bigger than that, and he does admit that Twitter is at the moment in this existential battle between tyranny and freedom.
Yeah, and I'd like to see more revealed from those old Twitter files, wouldn't you? Something very chilling was said from the White House press secretary's podium on this just yesterday. We'll talk about it. And, oh, you still have a chance to have your vote counted in the one-word texting poll. Vote now. Do you want Governor DeSantis to enter the 2024 race for president? Text yes or text no to 23680. Charging toward the 9 o'clock hour. Much still to do. Glad you're still with us. An update now on Orlando's news, weather, and traffic for a final time. Good morning, Orlando.
I could listen to this all day, and I have a feeling maybe I will be. How are we doing? Good morning, Orlando. It's 8:52. I'm Alan Spector. Bud Hedinger is somewhere around here.
I'm here.
Oh,
can
hi.
You guys hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? I was just doing a headline here. Didn't make it on the air. Are we okay, gang?
No, but that was a good rehearsal, Bud.
Yeah,
we're good now.
I'm just warming up, but it's a little late, isn't it?
If you want to do it again, you can.
No, but while we're talking sports, let's talk Gators sports. Roll it, Lizzie. Gator basketball on your Gator Nation station, News Radio WFLA tonight. We're playing Florida A&M. The pregame is 7:30. The tip-off at 8 o'clock right here on News Radio WFLA. Alan, I'm glad you're back from the newsroom here. You've actually, you're such a man of influence here, that you have changed somebody's mind on this issue of whether or not DeSantis should run and jump in at some point into the 2024 presidential race that Trump is already in. And the texter writes, I changed my mind. Alan has a really good point that he has to strike while the iron is hot. I changed my mind to a yes vote. There you go.
I do have a good point. It matches the one on the top of my head. So,
which is prominent, to say the least. But really quite appealing in its own way. What else do we have here? Yeah, and this is a point I made earlier in the show, reinforced by faithful listener Joe on the text line. This is the statement that Karine Jean-Pierre, the totally incompetent Biden press secretary, made from the podium yesterday, and she made it twice, is absolutely scary. When she said, the Biden administration is keeping a close eye on Elon Musk. Now that he has Twitter and he pledges to root out liberal bias and having it be the premier forum for free speech. And Joe finds it to be as chilling as I do, almost Orwellian. And you know, what does that mean exactly? And is it that if they no longer are getting the positive liberal spin out of the Twitterverse that they were getting on issues from the Hunter Biden laptop and the suppression of that before the election to other matters as well, are they going to try to initiate some kind of federal crackdown? And that is chilling. Jean-Pierre, you know, who's basically clueless here, does trumpet what she is told to say, either by the president or the people who are pulling his strings just outside the door. So we'll have to see on that score.
You know, Bud, I really don't think Joe Biden has any business telling Elon Musk how to run Twitter, just as nobody had any business telling the previous owners of the company and officials of Twitter how to run it at that point. Whether it was liberally biased, whether it's conservatively biased, you know, to me, Twitter is a private company. They can conduct themselves as they see fit. People can get on Twitter, sign up for Twitter, whether they want to, if they want to. They don't have to. And there's no obligation by Twitter. There's no equal time provision for social media in this country to where you have to provide both points of view.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see how this works out for Twitter, now under the ownership of Elon Musk, and we will continue to follow it. On the Orlando Sentinel's financial struggles and the, you know, this really kind of pathetic appeal by the editor-in-chief right on the front page of the printed paper and also on the online edition in recent days here, that we need your help, we need contributions here to keep our great reporting afloat. I mean, they can't pay for themselves here, and they're charging $5.50 for the Sunday edition of the paper. It has hardly any ads in it, and it's shrunk to a shadow of what it once was. What about it? Can the Sentinel survive? Should it survive? We talk about their liberal bias in political reporting, and that is absolutely true, and I hate it. But there's so much more in any newspaper. I'd hate to see it pass from the scene, but I'm not sure it can make it. Texter's saying, free market system, let him sink. They can't make it, then you go down. Another, I think most people are sick of the Orlando Sentinel's left-wing bias, and that's probably why they're going broke. That's just my opinion. One more thing here. Guy, pop that one-word texting poll out. Folks have been voting all morning, and how about a final tally?
Do you want to see DeSantis enter the race for the 2024 presidency, yes or no? 45 yes, 95 no.
You know what? Slightly more than a 2-to-1 margin. The no's have pulled away from the yes's. First hour, it was very, very close. Less so in the 8 o'clock hour. Less so even now here. And we do appreciate all of you who voted and everybody else who have been listening here this morning and weighing in or just choosing to be part of the great silent majority on Good Morning Orlando. That's just fine, too. See you tomorrow morning from 6 to 9. Thank you. God bless you and God bless America.